You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now we move on to something quite interesting that's been developing. It hasn't really made a lot of media attention thus far, but it seems to be an ongoing situation that could affect your pockets, especially if you are traveling. It seems as though there have been some rumblings or some rufflings within the Fly Safair family around what's been going on and how the business has been getting on. I'm joined on the line by Fly Safair's competitor, Chemair. I'm joined by the CEO of Chemair, Miles van der Molen. Good evening, Miles. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with a bit of a brief background as to the developments within Fly Safair, where it relates to the case that we're now going to be discussing.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on the show. This dates back to about 2014. Before Safair started operating scheduled flights in South Africa, Comair at the time challenged their ownership structure. And their start was delayed until the Air Service Licensing Council was satisfied that they met the requirement. And then some changes were made to the ownership structure at that point, and the council eventually accepted it and the operation started. Then in 2019, they made some material changes to that structure, and the Irish parent, ASL Holdings, at that point started accounting for it as a subsidiary. It's pretty clear in their financial statements that that's how they view Safair. So the entity is foreign owned by an Irish company.
Now, let's add a bit more color to that, Miles. For those that might not have been up to date around why the ownership part of it is such an important thing, much like the broadcasters, the national broadcasters, a national carrier or national or companies that deal in aviation specifically have requirements in terms of ownership, in terms of local and foreign ownership. Is that not the case with what you guys have to contend with in every other player?
Exactly. So the law requires that it's no more than a small percentage can be foreign owned. The majority must be South African owned, and that's how the Act was written in a long time ago, in 1990 odd. In their own version, they don't comply with that.
So my understanding of that, Miles, is that at least in some cases, one of the acts says that at least 75% must be locally owned or up to 25% being offshore owned. But according to the filings that you mentioned from ASL in Ireland, 75% of Safair is then owned offshore instead of being owned onshore. Is that the case?
Well, it's a bit worse than that because the remaining 25%, they have an option on, which I think exercises next year. So it could be argued that 100% of Safair is Irish owned.
Now that gets interesting because when we look at the Air Service Licensing Act, the one that governs the owner, or that speaks to the ownership as well, does this then mean that if they're in breach of legislation there, they could potentially be facing having their license withdrawn?
Yes, it's considered to be a condition of the license. So there is no precedent on this. But there are various penalties that the licensing council could impose, including suspension, cancellation, or potentially a fine.
Now, if we all thought that this was the juiciest it got, it actually gets even juicier. Miles, you've been in the industry, you are a competitor of Safair, and you've done your own research as to the fact that it goes beyond just the ownership structure, but it also goes into the financing side of it to the tune of north of R1 billion over the last year that's been subsidized by the offshore parent for the local company. Can you just take us through that? Not necessarily how you arrived at the amount. I imagine there's been a rough calculation of sorts. But this subsidization, how has that affected the market?
It's been very damaging for the market. So during last year, we saw a massive amount of capacity being added by Safair and the market having an overcapacity situation again. And that pushed fares extremely low, and all the competitors felt the pain. Safair has the other half of ownership structure is capital structure of a company, and having an Irish parent gave them access to capital and to funding that isn't available to any other South African carrier. So it does become a sizable competitive disadvantage for those that are complying with the law.
So the case being brought forward at the moment for consideration is that they're playing with a much bigger war chest on an unfair playing field, and all you seek as competitors or as industry is that everybody play on the same playing field by the same set of rules. Is that the case?
Absolutely. So if foreign money is allowed, then we can all do it. If it's not allowed, then none of us can do it. But to have one competitor with access to a lower cost of funding skews the market massively.
Miles, I want to look at the skewing the market, but also the longer term impact of that, right? So you mentioned something around the capacity, increasing capacity. I assumed you meant they would have the ability to have more planes on the ground, therefore allowing them to do more trips, doing cheaper trips, and then undercutting you as competitors. How does that then affect the business from a long term perspective? Does it then push you out of business in the long term?
Absolutely. So, economics says that all markets are rational in the long term. So ultimately, in the long term, if you can't make it work, you'd have to exit the market. So it seems that their approach may have been to push competitors out by having a lot of capacity at a cheap price, thereby causing everybody else to withdraw. And then effectively creating a monopoly situation. And it's very difficult for that to correct, because to start an airline is a very complicated thing. So once the competitors are out, to reintroduce a competitor, particularly into a market where there's one very strong, very well-funded player with a sizable advantage of overseas capital, is unlikely. So you end up with an undesirable market situation in the future.
Yeah, you mentioned...
And of course,
Sorry, go ahead.
And of course, competitors leaving the market normally means that somebody arrives at the airport and the airlines close down. And South Africa's got a very unfortunate history of airline closures and a lot of value destruction and misery caused by that. And that is also to be avoided. It damages confidence, it damages the industry, it's really not a desirable situation to have airlines closing.
Absolutely. And as you say that, I'm thinking back to what happened with Mango, what happened with Kulula, what happened with Comair. We've literally gone through this. What's happened with SAA, we've gone through this too many times to think about. And one of the conversations I had with Lyft at some point was around the cost of running an airline, and something you alluded to as well, Miles, is to say at some point it doesn't become sustainable for you, and then you end up saying, I'm going to close up shop, but that only serves to benefit the counterparty that might not have been playing by the rules, so to speak. Is there anything from a recourse perspective? I mean, obviously there's legislation, and this case is the first of its kind. As you said, there's no legal precedent from here. Is there anything around penalties where something could be imposed to rectify the situation, or do we know where that stands? Is that currently being considered?
Well, there's two legs to the matter. So there's the ownership structure that's being challenged with the Department of Transport through those licensing councils. And then there's also a complaint before the Competition Commission for their pricing model, where they have unsustainably low fares, and that's being looked at separately. So the Licensing Council, again, because it's the first of its kind, we don't know which way that's going to go and how they'll choose to handle it. But there's probably more precedent on the Competition Commission and how they deal with predatory pricing the sort of anti-competitive approach in the market.
Miles, would it not be better to just open up the industry and say everybody can go source private capital, because that'll bring down the costs of flights for everybody?
There's a strong argument for that, and if that's a decision that's taken, then everybody can work within that. Mm. It will mean that the South African market will be dominated by foreign capital and foreign airlines, but if there are other countries that have chosen that route, and there's an argument for it, but then the law must be changed, and we must all have access to the same capital. Then we can go from there.
Certainly interesting developments. It's all about creating an even playing field for the benefit of businesses as well as for consumers. We will reach out to the SAFAir team as well and see if they can give us a response from their perspective as to what is happening. But thanks so much for those insights, Miles. That's Miles van der Molen, who is the CEO at ChemAir, joining me to take a look at the irregularities within the SAFAir business at the moment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.